Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music. It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and I'm excited for the topics that we have today, all of which are going to be brought to you by our good friends at ArborTech Tools. Go to arbortechtools.com, enter the promo code Zero or the promo code Toolies, and you're going to get 25% off their power carver, their power planer, their power ball gauge, all kinds of stuff. I used some of it yesterday. I have to admit, yesterday for me and my shop was just make sawdust day. I took out this planer and was like, I'm just going to see what it will do. It had the piece of wood, the log had bark on it. It ate through the bark, no problem, went through everything. I made my second version of a spoon. It came out much better than my first version of the spoon. I talked about it on Tuesday that I was thinking about making a bear. I'm not good enough for a bear. You have to know your limitations of what you can actually do. I started like using it to see if I could carve out the ear, and I was like, nope, I can't do this yet. I need to get to learn this equipment. But that's part of safety. Like, safety is paramount when you have power tools. These things are powerful, they're strong, and they eat up wood, so be careful, but it's something that anybody could do. I even let my older daughter use the power chisel. She went out there and grabbed a hold of it. She's like, this is heavy, and it feels really solid. It's like, yeah, give it a try. She went through, and she was like, oh, man, it's pretty easy. I could do this. She made her own incense holder. It was pretty fun. We did that on Sunday afternoon. It was pretty sweet. Ooh. Just a little dad-daughter time. It was nice out there. Make sure you go to arbortechtools.com with the promo code Zero. You're going to get 25% off. It'll be there before Christmas. It's a fantastic gift, especially if people are going to be at home chilling, doing stuff, making a little artwork, because you never know. You might need to carve a little Easter bunny someday. You just might need to. Today's show, we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, did U.S. soldiers die this year while attacking a CIA facility in Germany tied to an election fraud? No, but that's not going to stop this retired three-star general from saying so. You're going to need your tinfoil hats for this one, folks. Round number two, these Marine Corps grunts aren't tripping wires. They're tripping balls, dude. And the military is like totally trying to harsh their vibe.
Your hippie voice is terrible.
Well, that's a tough voice. Like, I saw hippie right there.
Oh, yeah.
So you want me to do like a Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah, that was like a real narc voice you just had there. Like, okay. You sounded like a cop pretending to be cool there.
These Marine Corps grunts aren't tripping wires, man. They're tripping balls, dude. And the military is like totally trying to arse their vibe.
Better.
Better? Not good still?
I'll allow it.
Okay. Round number three. Speaking of illicit materials, the Army is investigating a smuggling ring in Kuwait. And though it's not quite LSD, it could put a real hurting on your heart. That's right. You guessed it. It's pork. You never expect pork to get in the news, but that's a couple times recently with the old, where was it? Thailand. Taiwan. They were throwing pig guts and pig parts all over their parliamentary procedures because they didn't want American pork to be in Taiwan. Sad.
Yeah.
Round number four, vaccines. Get your vaccines here. Ice cold vaccines. The chief of naval operations broke down the rollout and how it's going to go to get the coronavirus vaccine to all the different troops. And I'm so excited because it's going to go so smoothly. There's going to be no issues at all. It's going to be like a rollout like you've never seen before. People are going to go bananas over it because the CNO laid it all out. And finally, round number five, I have a badass of the week. We haven't done a badass of the week in a long time. This time, it's a cobbler, folks. It's a Navy shoe cobbler who's been at the Naval Academy for 53 years doing boots. I don't know if you guys are big Parks and Recs fans, but I would imagine if I want to talk to this guy and see if shoe shine head is a real thing.
Where they shine your top of your dome where you could get your head shiny?
Shoeshine Head? No. Shoeshine Head is when Chris Pratt's character on Parks and Recs, whenever he would buff a bunch of shoes out, he said that it, like, thunderstorms would go off in his head just because of all the polish smells. Like, it just affects you to see if you get, like, if you develop a herd immunity, some would say, to Shoeshine Head. We don't know. But we're going to do all that. We're going to do it starting right damn now. Let's go. This one, like, we sometimes will talk about how a wish a motherfucker would moment, but there's got to be, we have to come up with a term
for, like, I'm patting myself on the back big time, like, thank me for my service, because this post that the guys at, or ladies at Just Boot thank Things said is the perfect example of that. It says, and quote, as an ex-volunteer firefighter, now a soldier, I cannot thank you enough for this. I apologize for being late. I was busy to ensure this tragedy never happens again. That was a comment left on a stairwell video from a 9/11 documentary. And that guy just really patted himself on the back.
What?
Like, you can't do that. You can't do it.
Busy Kate work. Oh, my God.
God looks
first
blown
of
away.
All, you know how I feel about, I don't mean to be rude.
And that's the reason why. I think that's a little feather in your cap, Kate.
The volunteer firefighter community is a big feather in the cap community. And I'm just saying, I'm coming at them again. God damn it, guys. Cut it out.
Yeah, that's you know a what sad else? One. That's a sad one for sure. It's been a nice week coming back. This has been the usually for me, I don't know how it is for you guys, and it was this way when I was in the military too. When it's holiday season and you have your first 96 to kick off Thanksgiving, that time period in between Thanksgiving and like New Year's is the best time of the year. But the days that you're actually at work, it feels like you're not doing anything worthwhile at all. Like, why am I here? You're just kind of punching the clock. I didn't feel that way this week. I thought it was a very good week so far.
Yeah, this has actually been one of my more productive weeks. Right. Almost for anybody, coming back from any break kind of sucks, especially the weekend now that we're letting into another holiday, blah, blah. But this was actually an oddly productive week for me.
I didn't let you guys prepare for this, but off the top of your dome, what's the worst time that you ever had coming off of a long leave? Like, it's got to be 10 days or longer.
Going back to Iraq. After
that's yeah. a solid answer.
That's yeah,
pretty good one. Yeah,
well, that game's over. Thanks,
yeah,
Gons.
Yeah, Gons wins. That's it. I got
the
nothing.
Going back. Me and Kate.
Oh my gosh,
Kyle never had to do that. Like,
oh yeah,
deployment.
I forgot
back.
About that because yeah. you guys only do like 6 month rotations.
No,
yeah.
9 months, but we
oh,
didn't
sorry.
Leave.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, so and I went. The worst part for me is I went right smack dab in the middle. So that wasn't the worst part, but the worst part was I went at Christmas. I tried to avoid that. But I ended up just because when I switched out and everything, what have you, and having Christmas and New Year's and all that joy and all that good family time, and then going back to Iraq after that.
Oh my God, that's like the worst. I didn't know you came back for Christmas.
That's yes. like an even starker contrast than normal. It's like, yes. oh,
so you guys
harsh.
And being Catholic, you and Big Al are probably at fucking mass oh, singing yeah. Ave Maria while your mom's got a big old tear in her eye. Because her baby boy's got to go back to war.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a Netflix movie, Con.
Oh, yeah. That's rough. That's
we're actually
rough.
Out to a few producers right now. We're in talks. We'll let you know how that progresses.
Kate?
I would say he's just making me think my first deployment leave before I deployed for my first tour, went home to Philadelphia, said my goodbyes. My parents dropped me off at the Philly airport to send me back to California so I could leave for Afghanistan. And my parents were beside themselves. They're like, this is their baby girl going off to war, blah, blah, blah. They're both sobbing. And we have this big goodbye right in front of the gate before I go through security. And then the line was kind of long. And I say, okay, time for you. You know, I'm going to be stuck in this line for a while. Why don't you get out of here? So we have this big goodbye and they leave. Well, they went the wrong way. So then they had to come back again and be like, hey again, after this big goodbye. So it was like this and the second time. They're like, okay, bye. See you later. Like it was just a wacky, stupid thing. But I think any leave before a deployment is always kind of like, oh God, here we go.
Kyle?
Yeah.
I mean, besides the deployment leave, just generally going back to work after 10 plus days, that's, I always used to say your first day back is the worst day of your life because it's just you're dealing with the same bullshit. Whatever your responsibilities were, no one handled that shit. So you just got an inbox full of tasks, all sorts of bullshit. Everyone was wondering, where you been? It's like, I've been on leave, dipshit. Like, I've been gone for 14 days. So just, you know, generally being back.
That's the thing. 10 to 14 days is long enough that you can get into a new routine, whereas a long 4-day weekend, you know, that's nice, but it's a lot easier versus 10 days. You get into a routine. Maybe you're sleeping a lot later. Maybe you're drinking at 11 a.m., you know? So to then shift back to your real life is very difficult.
Yeah, and that first time that you have to put on your blouse, like when you're getting ready to go, and you have to like slip it back on, that's just a terrible feeling. Mine was coming back from my honeymoon, and I had to take a PFT the next day. Like going from, I came back from Jamaica and drank the entire time rum and wine and all kinds of shit. And then when I landed, my first Lugo called me and he's like, "Hey, Gunny, the first day, I know you're coming back from leave, dog, but you're going to have to take a CFT. You got to meet me down at the stadium, 0630, me and you, the company commander, we're going to knock that out. Let the Marines know that we're getting it done first so they know they have to do it too." And I was like, fuck man. When I got done, it was like 35 degrees. So going from like 80, 90 degrees in Jamaica to 30 degrees running a CFT. When I got back to my office, it took me a legit like hour to catch my breath. Like, because I had ripped so many like six and shit like on the beach. It was terrible.
Well, who was those? Remember that group of four infantry guys who were doing really great sketch videos a couple years ago? And they were so funny. Oh my God. They have one about coming back from leave where it's just this sad music like that. Dun, 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 and they're all just staring off. They're like each in their own backyards back at home, staring into the distance, thinking about going back to work. And it's like,
and now it would be like that TikTok craze video where it's like, oh no. Oh no! Oh no! 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 Like when you're putting your uniform back on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right. Let's get started with the actual news of the week. Round number one: a 3-star. When I first saw this sheet, Kate, I thought that this was surely going to be about Lieutenant General Flynn. I want to go on the record. Fuck Lieutenant General Flynn. That guy. I don't understand how you rise to the rank of a 3-star and then just end up a stupid person.
Like, that's my question with this story, because I think we have so much, it's like how we have so much blind faith in our doctors being these brilliant infallible people, you know. I feel like it's kind of that same vibe with our starred generals. Well, I guess they're all starred generals, but the generals that have stars, but
you know, the starry ones.
Yeah,
you
know,
okay there, Katie Stolen Valor.
Okay, but I feel like you have this like blind faith that these people like are infallible almost, and then
it's the same thing we say about why we always thought growing up that politicians were the smartest people ever. You just assume.
We met some and interviewed some politicians and I'm like, you are dumb.
Like, well, too, and like, and same in the church, like the high ranking, like church, you're just like, these people are perfect and they can do it. And then you get a wackadoodle do like this next fellow we're about to talk about, and you're like, oh, how did that happen? Like, how did they reach the heights they did while also being such a wackadoodle?
I mean, you know, so, you know, you take, even documentaries are always skewed one way or another, but I'm sure maybe a lot of people have seen the movie Vice about Dick Cheney, and you just see like the way Washington works. If you get in with the right people, and this, I'm not, you know, blowing people away with this revelation here, but you get in with the right people, it's very easy to rise up.
Yeah, he was
yeah,
just
but regardless you would think of, that's, regardless like, of getting qualifications. To a spot as a 3-star, though, like there to reach that, like I could, it makes more sense to me, honestly, to become a congressman or a senator whenever you're that way, because as long as you're likable and you're charming, you could be dumb as a box of rocks, and it doesn't matter as long as you're charming.
Can I tell you what it is?
Yes.
I'm gonna cut you off here. This is what it is. Pickleball. Huge in the D.C. area, okay? Mm-hmm. And all the politicians are playing pickleball all day long. It doesn't
I've actually seen that. Yeah.
They got the pickleball course right out on Capitol Hill. This general we're about
that's
to talk about.
That's actually what Melania was renovating the Rose Garden for.
Pickleball. Right. She put in the four pickleball courts.
I love playing pickleball.
Well, this
Trump's going to pull on his big old white pants.
Oh, man, imagine.
Yeah. Well, this
tennis shorts.
This retired, seems.
This Air Force Lieutenant General, he was a wackadoo. Everybody knew it, but he was so good at pickleball. They were like, fuck, I need him as my partner. And so they kept bringing him up the ranks, so it wasn't fraternization. He got all the way to the top on pickleball.
This story's actually not going to be about the people who died with the CIA fight in Germany with the armies, but it's actually just going to be the rules of pickleball. So, Kate, what's the first rule of pickleball?
Never touch another man's pickleball unless
oh, no. He's... It's actually we don't talk about pickleball. We're going to keep going with a normal story. What happened with this 3-star?
Okay. Anyway, so this comes to us from Davis Winky at the Military Times. So it's a scenario that makes the antics of animated spy cartoon Archer seem plausible by comparison, but spun by the former assistant vice chief of staff of the U.S. Air Force, no less. In his unfounded version of events, U.S. Special Operations Forces died in an attack on a CIA computer facility in Germany that was hiding information about a massive covert effort to flip votes from Trump to Biden.
I say something first about the title assistant
vice chief
of staff? When I'm that high of rank, if I'm a 3-star, I don't want the modifier assistant anywhere near my title.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're a little bit above having assistant in it.
Yeah.
And even though it is like your assistant vice chief, like, I don't want that assistant modifier.
Yeah. Noted. Well, you better get good at pickleball then, friend. But even though Army and the U.S. Army Special Operations Command have told Military Times that this is blatantly false, no such attack or loss of life, retired Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McInnery is sticking by his claims. They became so widely distributed on social media that numerous accounts on Twitter have falsely claimed that 5 soldiers killed in a Sinai helicopter crash were really killed in a firefight with our own CIA. McInnery, who in an email to Military Times did not offer more info regarding the sources of what he told the conspiracy-laden website on the Thanksgiving holiday, did not respond to Army statements about the falsehood. Yet he went on, I forget what the news, CBN or something like that, he went on one of these like kind of offshoot news networks, spouted it off, and the video clip went totally viral. Over Thanksgiving.
I don't know if we can call those places news. I know, I understand like why you're doing it, but those like conspiracy theory ass websites, like once you start accepting spots on there, you lose all credibility.
But this is what they do though. These fake news spots like CBN, NBC, like you see these things and they make the headlines like they look like real news. They have the things mm-hmm. going across the bottom, all the other stuff that like if you don't check your sources, you're like
an enormous QR code that you could scan while you're watching YouTube like a fucking crazy person.
Yeah, there's all sorts of crazy stuff. So it was called the Kraken bombshell. Lieutenant General McInnery. Kraken is the nickname of the 305th Military Intelligence Battalion.
Kraken. It's like the Kraken.
Oh, I
like
say
you're
Kraken.
Releasing the Kraken. Yeah.
I
like
say Kraken.
No, it's release the Kraken. And you have to think, because Seattle just got an NHL team mm-hmm. and they named it the Kraken. Mm-hmm. You got to think that they're like, yeah.
Yikes.
I don't know if we want to be associated with these crazy ass people.
Yeah, but basically, this our Air Force Lieutenant General was saying that. The 305th, which this is a real unit, the 305th mm-hmm. Military Intelligence Battalion, that 5 guys are dead and ladies in a helicopter crash that the CIA shot down in Germany over this ballot counter thing. Like, absolutely nutty, but it did go pretty damn viral. And this just, like, leads us back to that question of, like, who is this guy and how the hell did it happen? He was once a highly respected military leader who became the Air Force Assistant Vice Chief of Staff, U.S. Military Academy in 1959. Uh-oh, he's a West Point guy. Mm. Yeah. Then he joined the Air Force and flew more than 400.
A very solid.
Then he joined the Air Force, has more than 400 combat missions in Vietnam, Distinguished Service Medal, all these other, you know, all this Bronze Star Medal with a V device, Oak Leaf Cluster. He became the Air Force Assistant Vice Chief of Staff in 92. But somewhere along the lines, he went off the rails. After retiring, he spent more than 16 years as a military analyst for Fox News, but they fired him in 2018 after he inaccurately claimed during an appearance that torture worked on Senator John McCain, that it was a good thing. So not great. Ugh. So just how the hell do you go down this? How do you go from those heights? And to be a pilot, you have to be intelligent and quick-minded and blah, blah, blah. Like, how does that spiral happen?
I think it's like basic brainwashing almost, like the way that QAnon and all those fucking crazy ass conspiracy theories work. Like, they get you just a little bit, next thing you know you're watching one other YouTube, then you're an NBA superstar claiming that the earth is flat. Like, you just go down like these rabbit holes, and eventually your brain is so mushy on the inside you don't know what's up and what's down.
Yeah,
I just pictured, too, like the 305th Military Intel Battalion getting a call and somebody being like, did you guys lose 5 guys or something? What? Huh?
In a firefight with the CIA in Germany that was sponsored by Hugo Chavez? Because that's part that was left out.
Like, yeah.
They said that Chavez was heavily involved. Chav's been dead since like 2012.
Chav, so you know, I think the one paragraph though points out how does somebody rise to the ranks of 3-star and then ultimately get very high up in the Air Force. I mean, the one paragraph, just one West Point graduate, so you know a lot of people, and then you're highly decorated throughout Vietnam. All you need are a bunch of good OERs, and then everyone just takes for whatever's on a piece of paper, they take that to be true. So they're like, oh, well, he's super accomplished and super decorated, so he must be smart. He must be good. And it's no, just those qualifiers.
You're right in that regard. Like, when I – the difference of when I was a sergeant not decorated versus when I came back and I was decorated, the way that I checked into units – was just so unbelievably different the way that I was treated because what I wore on my uniform. And some of that, like, you do earn, but I always thought it was strange. Like, when I would go places, like a gunny or a master sergeant would, like, talk about me having a Purple Heart, and I'm like, how the fuck does that mean that I'm good at my job? Like, that might indicate that I'm not good at my job. Like, I should have been a little bit more careful.
Yeah.
But you do, like, have that. It gives you another level, and you don't want to be – I mean, I've talked to different company commanders that I worked with. They would be more hesitant to put, like, bad OERs against somebody who was decorated than somebody who's not. Because you really have to have justification there. Like, this guy or woman is very decorated. I can't just be putting that they're a shitbag on their OER. Like, I'll look like an asshole.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Slipping through the cracks there, that wackadoodle fella.
But, Akons, I hadn't thought about this before. We've talked about whenever there's a veteran involved in something that is unbecoming or that we don't – like a mass shooting or something. I don't mean to make light of that. But how we always hold our breath, like, okay, don't be a Marine, don't be a Marine, don't be a Marine. You have it twofold where it's like, all right, don't be in the Army, don't be in the Army. Fuck, he's in the Army.
Don't be West Point.
Don't be West Point.
Yeah.
Yo, it's like you mentioned Flynn. I couldn't remember, so I Googled Flynn just to make sure he wasn't. You're absolutely right. I always check.
I know. I actually did that one. I thought he was, and I was going to just keep telling you that he was over and over again. Flynn, dude. Like, from the director of the NSA to swearing allegiance and saying that we need to pause the Constitution for another election, what in the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird, but you don't know. Honestly, there's definitely stuff going on behind the scenes. Who knows what he was promised, be it positions, be it money, who knows? So,
and you are kind of beholden to somebody whenever they pardon you.
Absolutely. Somebody pardons you? Yeah, you got to just do their bidding for the rest of time, more or less.
I just looked it up. Flynn and McInerney were pickleball partners. Something to think about.
More Flynn Flam.
Okay.
Oh, boy. All right, let's move on to round number two. This one's a little more fun. This is Kate's specialty. We're going to talk a little bit about LSD. All right, Kate, you've tried LSD, right?
I've tried a lot of stuff. I've tried a lot of drugs. I've just dipped my toe in, you know, casually and responsibly. Anyway, okay. All right.
Just left you hanging out there for a bit.
This comes to us from Jared Keller of Task and Purpose. Fellas, it's time to turn on, tune in, and drop out. Are you ready?
That was a pretty good hippie voice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, just real quick about Jared Keller. I saw a funny tweet the other day. Somebody said something to the effect of they should be capitalizing the word sailor in articles because, I don't know, somebody up in the Navy said so, and he just quote tweeted the big long explanation on why it should be capitalized, and he just quote tweeted it with no.
No, tell him, Jared. So the Marine Corps has a message for the more groovy-minded grunts in the ranks. Please, for the love of God, stop dropping acid. Several Marines and sailors assigned to the 2nd Marine Division. That's a sign of being close with your corpsman. I love it. Assigned to the 2nd Marine Division at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina have tested positive for LSD use amid a sweep of recent tests for the drug, the service announced on Monday. According to a recent anti-drug PSA, a number of recent incidents involving either Marines or sailors induced division leaders to carry out random LSD testing starting this summer. My God, but I love to read those incident reports. You think you stumble across weird shit when you're on duty on a Friday night? Imagine stumbling across a room of grunts on acid. I mean, I would just walk the other way and be like, okay, have fun, bye. Like, I would want nothing to do with that motherfucking room. Before those incidents, Marine Corps officials would have required probable cause for search rather than relying on random screening. And so far, out of 4,000 tests, they've had several positives since the summer. We have a drug problem in the 2nd Marine Division, said Major General Francis L. Donovan. How's my general voice? We are changing the way in which we test for illegal substances. Because I was wondering this. I was like, oh, all these guys are getting busted for LSD. Is that part of the piss test? Like, how do they test for that? But it's not. They're doing, like, special testing to find it. I had no idea. Because when they take our pee, it's just marijuana, right?
No, it's a 6-panel drug test is actually what it is. But LSD does not. So, like, a 6-panel drug test will cover, like, meth, barbiturates, cocaine, marijuana, opiates, and PCP. So LSD has classically been one that you could get away from, and it's usually out of your system in 24 hours or 24 to 72. So if you take it on a long weekend, you've been able to do it. Like, that's why LSD was so huge in, like, the 70s too, because even on drug tests, it doesn't show up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was looking at some of the reasons why it's getting popular in the military. There's no odor to it. It's like, it weighs as much as, it's like the size of 2 grains of salt on the little piece of paper you put on your tongue. It doesn't taste like anything, and it's like $10 for one of those. Mm. So for $10, you can have yourself a real good night or a real bad night. Just depends.
Get some LSD brought to you by your good friends at Zero Black 30 with the promo code Zero.
Yeah, try our new. But LSD is already an unofficial staple of virtually every corner of the U.S. military, including its especially sensitive nuclear enterprise. We covered that story several months ago. Indeed, dozens of sailors assigned to the nuclear reactor department aboard the USS Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier were punished in connection with an LSD ring aboard the vessel.
Oh, you know Ronald Reagan's rolling over in his grave.
So
he was not a big drug goofing guy.
LSD
so
on
Nancy.
My ship? Oh, Nancy.
Nancy was fuming.
Furious.
They didn't dare at all.
No. Mm-mm. Terrible. And last year, 14 airmen responsible for protecting the Pentagon's nuclear missile silos were disciplined for dropping acid between shifts. I don't know how long the breaks between shifts were, but acid...
I think you should be able to do that. Nuclear security and, like, the areas that they're at, South Dakota, Montana, get out of town. If you can't drop a little LSD, what's this whole thing even been about? Yeah. Plus, the military needs to... I would be interested to see... Because there is a shit ton of trial bases of LSD and seeing how it affects veterans' brains for PTSD. I would like to see how widespread was LSD on Lejeune. And if it was super widespread, are we seeing suicide numbers decrease? And if so, should they start putting a couple squares of LSD and MREs? That's all I'll say.
That's all I'll say.
That's it.
Hey, we're just spitballing here, just thinking out loud. We're not suggesting we should start rampant drug use, but...
Yeah, a certain general needs to call me. I have some ideas.
They said there was at least one Marine Corps officer who made the argument that, at least in terms of microdosing, it might be worth checking out for, like, intel people in intel. Like, might unlock some things in your mind that lets you see some new, like...
Oh, yeah.
Some new shit. But anyway,
that's what DARPA does. DARPA probably just gives their people some LSD, some shrooms, just be like, come up with the real weird weapon. They're like, okay, now hear me out. We're going to control people's minds.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to communicate on the battlefield without talking.
Right. Now get out there. I will say, as I've taken acid before, I've done, like, mushrooms and acid and all that stuff, but, like, so I took the first dose, and it was like, after my divorce, and I was having a weird time, so
Wow.
No, it was amazing.
You really are a poster child.
I had this really tough test on my dental hygiene school. I was in my aunt's basement crushing a chicken parm. I was trying to text myself, but text my ex-husband. I was like, you know what? I got to rip some LSD.
It was summertime. I was at the beach. I took it up on a roof deck. I watched the sunset. I started to see colors I'd never seen before. I went for a long walk at the beach. I was like, I had a bottle of champagne that I was cruising around with. It was the most delightful. I found an abandoned boat that I was, like, sitting on captaining for a while. It was fantastic.
Listening to nothing but Fleetwood Mac on a fucking Bluetooth speaker.
But I
started to think
a lot
about the boating tour she was going to start company.
Yeah, I had a lot of moments of, like, clarity, and I found it really helpful. The problem was when I was having so much fun, I decided to take the second tab, before I shoulda. Mm. And then it looked like there was spiders on everything. That was a bit of a problem. Very realistic, too. Just crawling on every corner of everything I looked at. That was, but I got over it. I had the presence of mind to bust through it. But I was tripping balls for like over 24 hours. I feel like it was, people took me along.
Let me tell you, man, I thought LSD, I thought that just wasn't something people still did anymore.
Oh, it's
just, just shows what, you know, what a narc I am. Like, I don't know.
What a nerd. Oh my God.
Yeah, seriously.
No, people microdose it now. They put tiny little bits in pills and like every day, and they think that it helps like even them out. I don't know. It's interesting, but
you know what it is.
I'm always surprised with certain drugs. Like I think LSD would be a fun one just to goof with. Like I can understand the allure of cocaine, but then I see people like meth. Like, haven't you been on the internet? Like the faces of meth. It should be the most effective campaign of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else is an effective campaign? Just walk the streets of New York City and you see these people talking to themselves, doing things in public that one should not do in public. And you just think, drugs.
See a lot of penis out there. Yep. I will say, too, I was with somebody who had a very bad trip. And I do not, again, I don't want to be around a grunt having a bad trip because it's like the bath salts uncontrollable. It's like you got to hold them back. It's insane.
I also feel growing up, you know, in the 90s when ecstasy was really coming up and becoming popular, it just seemed like every football Sunday there was another story after the game, the late game on 60 Minutes about one person taking ecstasy for the first time and dying. So I think that was just like in the back of my mind. But I don't know. I never had a propensity
towards
drugs. The
key for that is to take half.
I like the idea of young cons being responsible simply because Barbara Walters told him to be.
Yeah, man. Yeah, totally.
He would be the one waking up Nancy's ghost on the ship. He'd be like, Nancy, they're taking LSD.
Yeah, one other thing about cocaine was always funny to me that every time one of my soldiers or whoever I was administering the piss test to, they would come up hot for that and you'd go tell them like, hey, you came up hot for this. Immediately, like 9 out of 10 of them would always say, damn, I thought it'd be out of my system. They always thought it was going to be out of their system.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Do it on a Friday. Thought they were good for a Monday. Nope.
Yep. Have a good time with it before you enlist and then never do it again. That's my advice.
Don't say it at the moment of truth like that you did it.
Right.
You can't do that at the moment of truth. But what you can do is wear Rocky boots because Rocky boots build boots for men and women that serve and protect the country. They are designed and built in the U.S. for each individual branch of the military. Most recently, Rocky was side by side with the Marine Corps, and the Marine Corps keeps their boots pretty close to the vest. Rocky boots busted through that barrier. Now they have the USMC Tropic boot. It's barrier compliant and made right here in the good old US of A. If you haven't worn them yet, they're super comfortable. I wear them every time I go out to my shop, even if I have to do a Rocky read or not. I just wear them all the time. I wear them.
They're good ass boots.
And usually when you have boots, this is my favorite thing about Rocky boots, and not like the military boots, but the like hiking boots, the construction boots that they have too. I like the military ones. I actually threw those on and see if I could drive my heel to the deck and see if I could do if I could do that. But with Rocky boots on, you know, a lot of these boots that are like the Timberland style construction boot, you have to pull them and pull them and pull them to get them on and off. These are still really solid with a lot of ankle support, which I need. Kate knows that. So I have a lot of ankle support.
True.
And you can get them on pretty easily, which is a big plus, too. Go to RockyBoots.com, enter the promo code ZERO. You're going to get 25% off, which is an incredible deal. Make sure you go get that while it's last. Round number three, we're going to move into a little bit of pork smuggling. This one's brought to you from the Army Times. I love stories like this because you think, what are you going to smuggle? Like the way that military members, some will come up with these side hustles and eventually get caught. You get caught all the time.
Oh, like, I'm sure we've many hustles in the military. Oh my God. Yes.
One of the biggest hustles that people take advantage of, and at least in my opinion, is whenever you would have the snack cabinet or whatever, like the Gidunk bar that you could go to and get like little honey buns. You put in 50 cents. Those are very illegal. You're not supposed to have those bad boys in the office.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have a question too, before we get into the story, each of you favorite pork product go. Cons.
Ooh, a sous vide pork tenderloin that you put in a little water bath for like an hour and 20 minutes ish. You let it sit there with some rose, some thyme, a little bit of salt and pepper. And then when it comes out, you heat a cast iron skillet, give it a nice little crust on the outside. It should be just a little pink on the inside, and it's going to be beautiful sous vide pork tenderloin.
Fancy answer. Cons?
All right, whatever. Yeah, Taylor Heron Pork Roll, what's up?
That's mine too. Kyle?
Yeah.
Ham on Thanksgiving and Christmas, both days. Keep
you
fancy.
Oh, big ham guy. Absolutely.
You son of a bitch.
Love a good spiral ham. All right. Well, they're getting all kinds of that stuff over in Kuwait right now. Anybody?
Yeah, they are. So the CID, the Army Criminal Investigative Command, confirmed Wednesday that its agents are investigating allegations of abuse and illegal resale of pork products. The old double sale of pork. You hate to see it. According to the State Department, it is a crime for even foreign citizens to possess, import, or sell pork products in a majority Muslim country. An Army official explained to the Military Times that U.S. citizens who are on American bases in that country can purchase 5 pork products per day from the Army and Navy Exchange Services, but they are strictly forbidden from transporting them on or off post and reselling them. The quote says, I can confirm special agents from the U.S. Army Criminal Investigative Command are investigating allegations of abuse and the illegal resale of pork products at AFIS in Kuwait, said Chris Gay, who is CID's chief of public affairs, in a statement emailed to the Military Times. Quote, due to the ongoing investigation, no further information will be released about this pork or the investigative process behind it. It was not immediately clear whether the AFIS officials have been asked to remove pork products from their shelves in Kuwait, and the AFIS operates 9 facilities in Kuwait, according to its website, and deployed service members are eligible and permitted to shop there. The Arab Times, an English-language Kuwait news organization, has reported past arrests of foreign citizens for importing pork, including the arrest of 4 Philippine nationals in 2006 who were caught in possession of 35 kilograms, which, Kate, off the top of your head, how many pounds?
That's 2 pounds.
2 pounds of forbidden pork.
I don't know.
Pork is reportedly a hot commodity in the black market in Kuwait because it plays a central role in the native cuisine. There's all kinds of stuff that happens at AFIS that you're not supposed to sell. Like, we would get, for instance, in Japan, if you go to the cash sales on any Marine base and you go get a 6-pack of Budweiser, it's basically at the U.S. cost. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay $2.50 for a 6-pack over there. Now, if you go out in town in Japan and you get a 12-pack of Budweiser, that motherfucker costs you $50-$60 because the import taxes are so high.
Yeah.
So we weren't allowed to bring Budweiser off because there are so many people that would get caught selling it to the Japanese locals, and you would get in trouble for that.
Well, this,
I don't know yeah. why.
No, well, I'm sorry. I'm just picturing this story. This dude, Chris Gay, coming into to Staff Sergeant Chaps' office, drops a big, big stack of papers on your desk. All right, Chaps, we got a big one for you. It's coming straight from the top. Pork smugglers.
I like to imagine it with Colonel Jessup. We're like, that's what you brought me here. Pork products and pork rolls. I'm an educated man, but I don't know whether this private is actually out here slinging pounds of bacon.
Well, they said part of why it's such a lucrative hustle, pork products are huge in Filipino cooking, and there's over almost 260,000 Filipino expats living in that
260,000, yes.
So, sorry, bad at numbers hurt. But so it looks like people on base, there's like some sort of connect. They're buying the pork and then they're selling it, I don't know necessarily to Filipino people off base or anything, but that's what I was reading the Reddit comments, and people were saying that that was probably one of the more likely things there.
Can you believe that bullshit? We can't throw that entire thing on the Philippine fucking community.
No, we all
like pork.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying that the people who have been stationed
there.
Oh,
I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming Reddit.
Okay.
I'm not like personally faulting you, Kate. I just don't know if you can put all of this on that one community there, because we all like pork.
Well,
not all of us. I guess some people aren't allowed to have it.
This is from the Reddit page. Somebody,
please read those. Please read those.
Somebody posted this. A $30 bundle of pork sells for $200 off post. So until CID completes their investigation, no more pork is going to be sold. So if you live on base and you love your bacon in the morning at base housing, which you're entitled
imagine
to have.
Imagine Brandon Walker, PFC Brandon Walker, not being able to eat his pound of bacon every day.
But I mean, if you know that you can walk into the commissary, buy you can five separate pork products and then sell them for like $200 off post, you'd be crazy not to. Come on.
I wonder if they have a pork NCO at the commissary.
There's gotta
where it's
be.
Like, hey, bitch. That's your seventh pack of pork today.
Right. Who's put keeping track? Back. Yeah, who's keeping track of how who's buying how much pork and whatever? But just a wild. That's one of those things with NCIS you never think.
You know, it's kind of interesting, though, just how different people think. Like, someone's willing to do that, five packets of pork every day just to make a few hundred bucks. And then, you know, some people probably want to go on a different scale and just get the entire shipment and start figuring that out. It would never occur to me to do this on a daily basis. That's just too much work for not enough return.
That's good money if you can get it, though. Yeah. I mean, if you pay $35 and you can throw it into $200, that's a good return on investment.
Yes, that is a good ROI, but is it worth my time every day? Unless it's just like I'm walking out the door and being handed the $100 right on the spot. But I have to imagine there's a little bit more involved to getting this money for your five pork products each day.
I don't know. But people were also commenting they remember being deployed to other countries and like the Kuwaiti police asking special forces asking for alcohol and porn and what else, like anything you could smuggle off the base that was illicit to them was a hot ticket item. So pork's one of them. Who knew?
Well, bringing those like prohibited items to like UAE, Kuwait, even though you can go on like vacation there, dangerous. Like DJ Esco, one of the best Future songs is a product of that, because DJ Esco was in a UAE, like from Dubai. Like he was just walking through a hotel there and somebody found that he had like just residue of marijuana in his bag. He ended up spending 40 nights in a UAE jail.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Ooh, yeah. No joke. They don't mess around. That's for damn sure. So watch out for that illegal pork if you're over there.
Mm. Yep.
Damn, I can only imagine what kind of money I could make if I could get some Taylor Ham over there, though.
Yeah.
That would really blow their socks off.
Guess they won't
be
pigging out.
Yeah, the very first Kuwait Wawa is going to go in soon. And
hell yeah.
That'll be a huge hit over
Sizzlies.
There. Go over to Wawa and you can bring your 3-Chi because it might be legal in Kuwait, too. Don't quote me on that. I don't know if 3-Chi is legal there, but it is legal in the United States thanks to the Farm. What's it called? Farm something. What was it called? The Farm Act? Do you guys remember?
Farmstead Act.
No, that's
no idea what you're talking about.
There's a some farm act that made growing hemp legal, and that's exactly what the product of 3-Chi is. They have Delta 8. They're the first company to do it, and it's the first THC legal products that has started in the U.S. since 90 years ago when Prohibition first started. I hate the people that started that Prohibition. What were we doing? Like, to say that Americans can't drink and can't smoke weed is so dumb. And the fact that we brought back alcohol before we brought back weed makes no sense at all. Because even my lovely mother, Linda, who has been on the show and talking and been here before, she even likes it. She takes a gummy. She's been sleeping. She has RA. She has rheumatoid arthritis. And she says that it's helping her sleep a ton. Like, she's getting solid sleep, being able to, like, actually roll over and things like that because she feels a little bit more relaxed. It's great. So go with 3-Chi, I really love their products. It's not one that I have to bullshit you on or anything like that. This product is fantastic. Use ZBT at the checkout and receive 5% off your order. You're going to go to 3-Chi CBD on Twitter, or Instagram, or Facebook and check out all the things that they have. They have gummies. They have vapes. They have all kinds of stuff. They just released a whole new line, too, and I searched it, went back to Reddit. They have this one flavor. It's called London Pound Cake. And the weed heads that were on Reddit talking about this 3-Chi product were saying it's from an unbelievable strain. It really helps you. It is like not harsh on your throat like some of the other ones can be. London Pound Cake. I actually tried it. I got some. They sent me some. And it is fantastic. Try that one out. Try out the gummies. I recommend the watermelon flavor, but the black raspberry is good too. Go to 3chi.com. Enter the promo code zero. Isn't that right? Promo code zero? No. Code ZBT, you're going to get 5% off your first order. And I ordered some directly for myself because I was out of the gummies. I ordered it on a Friday. It was in my mailbox on Monday.
That's awesome.
That's fast.
There you go.
In the holiday season, that's smoking fast. Like, get it here, get it ready to go. All right, let's move on to round number four. This one is a little bit of vaccines. I cannot wait for this vaccine to go live. But we were talking about it in our group chat a couple of weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago, where there's this article where somebody high in the Navy, I believe it was like the chief doctor of the Navy, I don't know what the fuck their title is, but he was talking about they weren't sure if they were going to make military personnel take the vaccine. And I copied that, put it in the group chat, and without question, instantly, all four of us were like, the fuck out of here. Like, of course they're going to make you take it. Like, we had to take smallpox, malaria. You have to take all kinds of shots that you don't even know what it is. You'll be standing in a line to get a shot. You have no idea what this shot is, but your first sergeant or whoever said you have to. So you're just like, roger that. That's exactly what's going to happen here. They're not going to let you get away with it.
Yeah. No. Hey, here's a shot. It's going to get really pussy and gross and leave a scar, but you have to get it. So, okay, got it. Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Yeah.
When realistically, I think you could decline a lot of that stuff.
Probably.
But you don't want to deal with your command because they have these hit lists that come out like with who hasn't taken it percentage. And that's all they want is 100% like to do it. I don't know if they could legally force you. Do you guys know? Like if you didn't want to take a smallpox vaccine, could you say no?
I think when you sign up for the military, you lose a couple of your rights a little bit. And I think yes.
But right to your own blood?
They trip. I mean, no. They trip some
fat
off.
Nobody makes me vaccinate my own blood.
Pretty much they sign your ass over, I think.
Yeah, when you sign up, you trim some fat off the Constitution. You lose
a
little bit.
Yeah, you lose a couple little things, get a little jabby. But yeah, it looks like they're coming, the COVID whatever vaccine coming through. They're going to have to decide once it hits the military who gets it first, what the order is. I think they decide it like they decide who gets the first BJ at the Sausage Castle. Time, I think it's,
probably
it's
so.
Purple Hearts first and then time and rank. So
I hope it's not Purple Hearts first. We need to stay in the back a little bit because this came about because there's a hearing for the Senate Armed Forces Readiness and Management Support Subcommittee. And the chief of Naval Operations, whose name is Mike Gilday, actually said that they had a plan and they were developing a plan of what to do there. And 10 U.S. locations across the Defense Department will receive Pfizer's vaccine, a medicine that's being shipped in GPS tracked coolers because the vaccine must be stored at ultra cold temperatures. Did you guys see how cold they actually have to keep it?
No.
Negative 120 degrees for Pfizer's.
Okay.
I don't know how they're going to do dry ice. Oh, that was the reason why. So there's a lot of scandal when Pfizer said that they had this thing and they leaked out that it was going to need to be stored at super cold. People were buying up all kinds of stocks in dry ice companies, and those stocks went through the roof, like because they're going to need so much more dry ice than they have right now, which is pretty, like people that know how to do that, so smart. Brilliant. Like Large talked about that before, like whenever they were doing, okay, we're going to have a vaccine or we're going to have a pandemic. You might not be able to go places for 3 months. What should we do? Buy up stock in businesses that sell cardboard because people are going to be ordering stuff to their homes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of thing is smart. Anyways, back to the vaccine.
Blue Anacott loves, what is it? Blue Horseshoe loves Anacott's deal. Sorry. Totally fucked that up. That would have been awesome. That would have been pretty good if I had gotten that smoothly, but alas.
No, it's okay. Luckily, you control people's mind. We're not going to say anything mean about that. So the vaccine would be good 5 days once it's thawed. Every U.S. medical treatment facility in the military will see that vaccine, which is great. Obviously, the first round of vaccines should go to the people who are working in medical facilities every single day. We need to get them to knock it out first. Healthcare workers and emergency and safety personnel will likely be the first service members to receive that vaccine since they're going to come in contact with it. Strategic forces, including those included cyber missions and ballistic missile submarine crews, will come next. I understand ballistic missiles on submarines because you're in close quarters. It's impossible to social distance on a submarine. But Cyber Command, what's so special about those folks? Why do they need it?
Maybe because that's the wave of the future and we want to protect those folks.
Maybe because they're a bunch of nerds and they have weak immune systems already because they're little fucking pocket protectors.
Could be that too.
That was really cool of me. Gilday went on to say, we have a good count on what those numbers are. If there's anything we're good at, it's mass immunizations in the military. I believe that to be the most accurate statement that I've read from a general level officer in a long time. If there is anything that we're good at, it is mass immunizations, because we do it every year.
Yeah, it's kind of like when we saw a few times, like, oh, we should send the military in, they can get everything organized, and the four of us are just sitting there like, yeah, okay, that's not actually true. And then you have something like this, and you're like, wait a second, they are actually good at getting shots that they don't even care about.
It's probably the only reason HPV. They made us ladies get the three-parter.
We talk about, like, your reproductive parts so much on this show. It's unbelievable.
We're just keeping everybody informed.
No, I like it. Yeah, it's both sides of the coin. So, yeah, you have all these different vaccines going on. And even now when I go into Lackland, they are ready to go. So you have every year they do the flu shots. I believe they can do this so smooth. Like, they are just going to knock it out, do it well. I'm excited to get my vaccine. I'm going to get that thing straight to the neck. If they try to do it in the arm, I'm just going to be like, just give it to me in my throat.
Like you got a bee sting. Like, just jam it in there, man, right?
You got a dart stuck in your neck.
Yeah. Oh, it needs to be cold. Luckily for you, I brought an old-fashioned. I have a whiskey glass. Just pour some in here. I'll take two shots,
That
please.
Should be. There should be a fun way to take it where you have to run through a field and get from point A to point B, and there's a bunch of Marines with, like, dart guns with the immunizations who get to try and hit you.
Okay, what about one of those, you know, those Jell-O shots that have, like, some kind of liner that keeps it, the Jell-O inside of it? It's like a liquid shot that you can put it in, it pops in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bob for those. To make it fun, like, you just have to go and bob for those. They should make it a game.
Right. I agree.
All right, let's move on to round number five. Or no, there's some ICE information, right,
Oh,
Kate?
Just a small thing saying ICE announced this week Operation Stolen Promise 2.0, where they're going to be, because with the announcements that immunizations are coming out, all the schemers and fraudsters are making up fake companies saying, we have it, buy it here, you know, and or actually, you know, to avoid COVID, all those things going around, do this exercise or drink this tea or get this herb and blah, blah, blah. So they're just really cracking down again. So ICE is out there looking for all the fakes, which I'm sure there's going to be a ton because people are desperate to go back to normal life. So I feel like there's going to be a ton of fake vaccines out there. So,
which is the reason why some are saying that the Trump administration has encouraged and taken laws on the book where we can bring back the firing squad.
Yeah.
And I think hanging was another one, like a method of execution. Yeah. I think if you do this and you go out there and you try to defraud people who are trying to get the COVID vaccine, death penalty. And I also think the same thing for people who used bots and computer methods of being able to secure a large number of PS5. I also think that should be a death penalty.
Yeah, what's wrong with people? What's wrong with people that they think that's okay? Where did you go wrong in life that enters your brain as an option? Like, were you not... Did you not pay attention to something in
cool,
fifth grade?
Money's cool, dude. Money's sweet. That's why we're smuggling pork.
Kate, let me tell you, there'd be no amount of money that could make me compromise my morals.
Well, I'll just say I'm nervous about the fake COVID vaccine stuff because at spring break 1 year, I fell for one of those free boob exams. So, you know, you can never be too careful.
Shout out Student City.
Let's move on to round number five. Round number five, we're going to talk a little bit about the badass of the week. He's a Naval Academy cobbler, which I think is a fantastic job. I actually have been in the cobbler market lately.
Really?
I've been, because you guys know I'll fall into these traps that is set up for me by eBay, where I'll just buy things that I don't need and that I most likely won't use. Yeah. So I was in pearl snap shirts, like Western shirts, which I look fantastic in, by the way. Mm-hmm. And secondly, lately I've been buying up cowboy boots. I recently got a pair of lizard cowboy boots and some that were black cherry goat cowboy boots. And in that, I've been buying them secondhand. And so I looked for a cobbler. There's only like four cobblers in San Antonio.
This
city's way too big to have only four cobblers.
I tell you, I have a great cobbler here in Hoboken. Been using them for years. Unbelievable what they're able to do with shoes. Be it clean them, fix them, what have you. They also fix my leather goods, some of my bags. Unbelievable. Cobbler. Find one.
I just want cobbler so bad right now. Like a peach one with vanilla ice cream on it.
What's the best cobbler?
Peach.
Surprise power ranking cobbler. You got peach. Kate, what do you got, Cons? And keep in mind, this comes with a side of one scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then I'll and the cobbler is warm, and the ice cream's obviously cold.
Apple.
Ew.
Yeah, gross.
Kyle?
I'm going to go with blueberry.
Smart.
Oh, that was close. Kyle's closer, but the number one answer, according to Family Feud, is blackberry cobbler. So I'm going to rank it me, then Kyle, then Kate, and then Cons comes in last, which is disappointing, obviously, for everybody. But
Except for
Smith,
you guys. You guys are getting excited.
Ronald Smith has been a cobbler for 53 years at the Naval Academy, and he hung up his cobbler equipment recently after he helped his final midshipman. He has no more shoes to be polished, fixed, or laced. I love this story because just sticking around and seeing – imagine the things that he has seen over the last 50 years. Smith's cobbling career began in 1954 when he went to school to learn the trade. He worked some local jobs before a friend told him about an opening at the Naval Academy in 1967, and he's been there ever since. So think about 1967. I'm almost positive that is John McCain's graduating class date. Like that was the year that he graduated. So to be there for that long is unbelievable. With 53 years at the Academy, Smith has seen a lot of midshipmen in a lot of these shoes. Although the cobblers at the Academy work with midshipmen shoes, they also care for the ones brought in by professors, staff, and alumni. And he watched changes to the Academy, including new buildings. If a new building went up, he figured he'd always have a steady job. And there's been changes about how midshipmen care for their shoes. I mean, that is a pretty big difference. Like, from what you start out in the 60s to now with, leather to core frame, whatever the fuck they make them out of now, like plastic.
I also want to say, too, him saying, oh, they're putting up new buildings. Looks like I'm going to be in business for a while. Naval Academy's not going anywhere. I used to remember on my second tour in Afghanistan, I would be reading news reports about how they're drawing down and the war was ending. But I'd look out and be like, well, they're building 7 new buildings on this space. No, they're not. So,
why are you building why are you building a 1,500-person cafeteria?
Yeah, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Who knew? But that's funny that he looked and was like, all right, new building, sick.
McCain graduated in 58. And also,
oh, so I was way off.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. At West Point, we shine our own shoes. We don't have cobblers to shine our shoes for us.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Con. That is unbecoming. That's just absolutely just... Like, I can understand if you pay for that service, fine. But if they just have people on staff that shine these fucking
shoes. Hey, dummies, cobblers don't shine shoes, okay?
It says right here in the article.
It up there, Kate.
He says midshipmen would bring shoes covered by socks.
He has no more shoes to be polished, fixed, or laced. Polished.
Whatever. Anyway.
Maybe that was a mistake on the journalist part. We don't want to throw hands there. We're not going to throw anybody under the bus. That's not what we do. We encourage everyone here on this show. But while at the Academy, Smith took the time to teach midshipmen to care for their shoes, and which probably should have been the responsibility of their enlisted advisors, but Smith took it upon himself. And she worked with Smith for 22 years, and that's what she said about him, that he was just like the nicest fellow of all time.
Yeah.
I love that story.
People like this, I promise you, I've never met this man, never heard of him until today, but I promise you, every midshipman that has come through since he's been there, if they just walked in right now, he would remember their name and say hello to them, obviously. Well, but he remembers everybody, I guarantee it.
At the very least, they all remember him because every single plebe during plebe summer has a one-on-one with him as they get fitted for their shoes. So he literally, for 50 however many years, every single plebe who went through that academy, he was responsible for fitting them for their shoes. It's pretty crazy.
And I actually saw this story, and some of the people who had gone to the Naval Academy responded on some of the tweets and just talked about how nice of a fellow he was. Very opposite from the guy who retired from Paris Island, who was in the haircut barbershop for a long time, where the news tried to make him out to be like a really nice guy and like really like comforting the recruits. And the Marines who responded underneath were like, fuck that guy. He about shaved my skin off my head.
Yeah.
Like, he really went to town.
Yes.
Very different vibe.
Slightly different. It's more of a Babadook vibe over there.
Yeah, he had a Babadook vibe. That guy really did. Like, I'm pretty sure I bled when he shaved my head. Like, it was intense.
I'm sure there's someone similar at the Air Force Academy. I know there's people that have been at West Point since forever. And it's just interesting how you can span decades of graduates and they can all relate to the one person. So it's pretty cool to see that the Naval Academy has the cobbler gentleman.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him on a great career.
And this guy seems like the type of dude who Fred Rogers brings in and like has him explain what being a cobbler is to children.
Yeah, that's a perfect description. He just looks like the loveliest man on the planet. And I learned something. He said, keep your shoes unlaced. That is the way to maintain them and keep them for way longer. I didn't know that. I never laced my shoes.
How do you feel about that as our ZBT fashion expert?
Yeah, that makes sense. No, and also, you should always buy shoe trees. Will maintain your shoes a lot longer if you have shoe trees in them.
Cedar, or if you have some logs, trees. You could shape a few shoe trees with your ArborTech tools from arbortechtools.com with the promo code zero for 25% off. All right, before we move into save rounds and alibis, we're going to get to an interview that I did with John Kressel and his story. Whenever I posted about it on Twitter that people were going, that I said, would you be interested to come on? And no, I do that all the time. Like, I will tweet somebody who has a decent sized following or whose story I've seen, or I've seen a couple tweets about them. I'll tweet at that person and say, would you like to come on the show? Normally it might get like 5 or 6 likes. People don't follow both of us. As soon as I tweeted at this dude, there was a shit ton of response of people saying, yes, it's a perfect fit. You're absolutely right. Here's the interview with Army Staff Sergeant John Kressel. Now at Zero Block 30, I am privileged to have John Kressel. And before I really get down to the nitty gritty, I constantly go on and try to find different people to come on the show, and we'll tweet at them, tell them to DM me if they're interested. John, you had one of the strongest reactions I've seen. Like, as soon as I put it out, like 500 people were like, hell yeah, let's do this.
That's awesome. That means a lot.
Yeah. So how did you get this? Because you have like 40,000 followers on Twitter. You were in the state house in your state for Minnesota. Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're in Minnesota. Usually a state representative doesn't have that many followers on Twitter. How did you garner your following?
Well, when I was in the legislature, I just served one term and then left. But I was a little bit outside of what you would picture a politician to be, or the way that I voted. But also on top of that, I'm on the number one rated morning show in the market on Friday mornings, KFAN Power Trip Morning Show. So that's got a very loyal following and a bunch of people that are very active on social media. So it's a blast. I love it. So yeah, that was fun last night. I saw that. I'm like, all right, I'm excited.
Yeah, man, it's a good thing. And I saw that you are living kind of like what a lot of people want to do when they get out. Like, you're involved in sports entertainment, you're doing guest speaking and things like that. You're really living like a pretty model life of what a lot of veterans want to do. And it's been interesting for me, even in the last 24 hours, or really 12, when I've really tried to dive into your story of how you got there. So for the people that don't know you, I want to kind of dig into that, because you gained a little notoriety when you came back from a deployment. And yesterday you had a tweet that was on your Alive Day, which we've talked about on this show a ton, what an Alive Day is. Can you walk us through what happened to you in Fallujah?
Yes. So we were on a deployment 2006 to Iraq. We're attached to Marine Headquarter Group on Camp Fallujah. And we were an Army unit, though. I was in the Minnesota Army National Guard. So the Army just kind of gave us to the Marines. So it was a unique experience. I loved it. I was a team leader. My MOS was infantry. Mm-hmm. And I had two Marines in my team. So it was a blended unit. It was awesome. So we were on a patrol near Fallujah on December 2nd, 2006.
What town?
I think it was close to Zidon.
Okay, because I got injured in Karma.
Okay, and and some of our guys after I got hurt ended up over there. They kind of spread people out, but so that was December 2nd, 2006, and we're on a patrol to go check out. We had volunteered. Now, they called it the nutsack on the map, mm-hmm. where the Euphrates River dipped down in the shape of a scrotum. I hadn't been down in that area before. But we were going, there was someone digging in the road, and one of the Raven drones, you know, like the Radio Shack type mm-hmm. unmanned drones, spotted someone digging in the road. So they sent us there. We're headed down there, Bradley fighting vehicle ahead of us. and we encountered a 200-pound improvised explosive device. Our left front tire hit it, and it detonated directly underneath our vehicle and killed two of my best friends, injured me. I lost both of my legs, left one above the knee, right one below the knee. Definitely the worst day of my life, but definitely taught me a number of lessons moving forward that has made me appreciate the rest of my life.
Yeah, and I've listened to some of those stories. And one thing that I really resonated with you was when you were injured and you talk about opening your eyes for the first time and seeing what was going on around. For our listeners, can you kind of walk them through what you, like your emotional state when that's going on? Because a lot of times we hear these stories and you think of somebody like you, like now you're decorated, you're what the Army wants and like their leaders and going after it. And you hear these stories and you think, oh, well, John's probably like a last action hero, but I'm sure in your brain, that's not what was going on. You're still a human who was terrified.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when the bomb went off, I heard it was a metallic clank. And I presume that that's because they were packed into propane tanks. So we kind of heard it detonate. And Tim, one of my closest friends, he was my squad leader. He was in the seat behind me. He remembers the same thing, that sound. So I was knocked unconscious initially for maybe 20 seconds, because when I woke up on the ground, I still heard the rocks falling from the gravel road. It sounded like a hailstorm. And so I heard Tim yelling, "What's going on? What happened?" I absolutely didn't want to believe what had just happened, but I joke that I've been a Vikings fan my whole life, so I'm used to the worst case scenario at any given time. So
yeah, sounds like it. If you're a Vikings fan, it might have been at the very last day of your deployment, though.
Yeah, right. When I opened my eyes, I saw we had a brand new fully up armored Humvee. We had ripped the plastic off the seats like a couple weeks before. And because when it was hot, we'd be sliding around, our ass would be sweaty and stuff like that. So we tore it off. So it was like brand new, fully armored, the best you could get. And it just got opened up like a can of peaches. So the vehicle was on its side, facing the opposite direction from where we're headed. Parts of the doors, which take at least a couple guys to lift on the armored Humvee doors, those were blown like a football field in every direction. Wow. Parts of the vehicle everywhere. And I was in this twisted, contorted position, so I knew I had been injured, but I didn't feel pain at that point. So I wasn't sure of my injury, so I started looking around, saw that my left arm was broken, that was kind of flopped there, but it was a closed fracture, so I held that against my chest. I remember really being concerned about, I don't want there to be any nerve damage in my arm. Mm-hmm. So I looked down and saw that my left leg above the knee it was open and the femur was sticking out. And it basically wasn't attached. The pant leg is probably what was holding it on. Mm-hmm. My right leg just below the knee looked like I had stuck it in a wood chipper and was bleeding a ton. So I was certain that my life was going to end that day.
I can't even imagine. And then, so you regain consciousness for a little bit. You go, then you talk about the next thing you remember as being in Walter Reed, correct?
Yeah. So the guys in the vehicle ahead of us came back, and I'm sure Marines go through, you probably call it something other than combat lifesaver, but we all go through combat lifesaver training.
Yeah.
Oh, same exact thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have a medic with us. So thankfully those guys were on it and they came back, put the tourniquets on. I'm thankful. And I think it's a reason that I'm able to have the outlook that I have now is I was awake until the helicopter took off and they're talking to me on the bird and sitting there, and I felt myself at one point getting cold. I told my buddy, tell my family I love them. And he's like, shut up, you're going to tell them yourself. They worked their ass off to save my life. They didn't give up. And so remembering all of that, then when I woke up at Walter Reed 8 days later and saw my injury, saw that my legs had been amputated, saw my arms were in casts, I had lost a portion of my intestines. It allowed me really to be thankful that I was alive in the first place and not sit there and go, man, this really sucks. And I immediately, when I woke up, it was the nurse was like, John, do you know where you're at? And so it was like kind of like college. I had no idea where the fuck I was at. And so I looked, it was a hospital room. So I was like, well, am I in Germany? They said, no, you were just in Germany. You're now Walter Reed. Welcome home. I asked about my buddies, found out that
kind of good news though, because that travel back from Iraq is terrible. Like, and you didn't have to deal with that long flight.
Exactly. Yeah, I was taking a nap on the flight. Yeah. So they, I asked about my buddies, found out that Tim survived, but Corey and Brian did not. And so that was absolute rock bottom for me. Those were two of my best buds. Those were guys in my team that I was responsible for. And it put everything in perspective. And that was the moment that I said, it would be pretty shitty of me to sit here and feel sorry for myself. Regardless of my injuries, I got a second chance at life that my friends didn't get. And so that really set the tone moving forward that I'm like, I need to just get through this and suck it up.
Was that feeling pretty instantaneous or did it take a little while? Cause I like trying to put myself in that position when I opened my eyes and I was on, when I was in the field hospital in Crete, whenever I opened up my eyes, I saw SportsCenter was on. They were talking about the Kevin Garnett trade from Minnesota to Boston. I got shot on July 31st of 2007, the day that trade happened. So that's what I first saw on TV. And I was like, huh, life's going to be different. Kevin Garnett's not in Minnesota anymore. He's in Boston. And then when they told me what happened and walked through like what the prognosis for my injury was going to be, it took me a little while I was laying in bed to kind of wrap my head around it. And my injuries aren't anywhere near what yours are. Did it take you any time to kind of roll it around in your brain and really come to grips with what life was going to be like for you?
It did. I mean, it was, they're so good there though. Right away, they didn't really give me a chance to like sulk, and they told me the prosthetics now are amazing and this and that. A little bit later, I found out because my pelvis was shattered that I might not get to wear prosthetics. Thankfully, that all worked out. They did a good job on the surgery, but it did take a little bit as reality was setting in. First thing that came back, you know, the sound of the blast, the smell of the explosion, all of that was still with me. And so that was very real in the situation. And once I realized like, okay, I'm alive. That's the first thing that, okay, I'm happy that I'm alive because I didn't think I was going to be. Mm-hmm. Then I was able, you know, I found out that my buddies were dead. And then it was more, there was a doctor that asked me to describe the whole thing. I couldn't get through more than a sentence or two without bawling. I mean, it was, mm-hmm. it was a lot at once, but then he stayed there and he's like, take your time. It's fine. I got through it. And then he's like, all right, talk to me again about it. And then it became easier and easier. And once that part, once the trauma of the actual explosion and how absolutely horrifying it is to lay there and think you're going to die, once that passed, then I was able to kind of pick up the pieces and go, all right, what are my injuries besides the legs missing? And they went through that. So I'd say it was pretty quick, but it wasn't. Obviously, there were tons of ups and downs, and I'd take two steps forward, five steps back, and it was, you know, you feel like you're never getting out of the place and the walls start closing in.
And me, like you've met with the nurse now and the doctor, when was the first time that you were able to connect with your family and how was that interaction?
So at that time I was married to someone else. And so that, she was there right away and I was able to kind of, you know, she explained certain things and whatnot, but then my dad and my sister arrived the day that I woke up. And so I saw them walk down the hall and come in. And at that time, especially they were more a priority than my ex-wife, which is why she's my ex-wife now. But right. Once they were there, I felt like, okay, this is fine. I didn't feel so alone. And I was able to then say, okay, we're going to get through this. I'm not going to be doing it alone. And I was still in the ICU at that point, but I started realizing that, okay, there's other people in the hospital that went through same thing I did or absolutely worse. And so as a team, we're going to all get through this at the same time.
And I've found over the years that looking back for me, July 31st of 2007 was kind of like a pinpoint on the map where my worldview changed, my thought process changed, how I viewed the world and what I want to accomplish here changed a lot. I listened to some of your speeches on the floor of the house, and it seems that is the same thing for you because you ran as a Republican, you're a Republican, and then you stood up in 2011 on the floor of the house and you talked about gay marriage and how your injury and the injuries to others and like influenced your political thought. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. So before all that, I never thought I was going to get into politics, maybe city council level or something. I've always been interested in it. Before all of that, I'd sit and I'd watch Fox News and be like, oh yeah, that hell yeah, that's it. That's the right. The, just exactly the same. It's the echo chamber that mm-hmm. Twitter can be a lot of times or whatnot. Right. After what happened to me and similarly what happened to you, you realize how important, how precious life is. And in the blink of an eye, it can be gone. And it makes you really, I think it made me a more sympathetic person, a lot less selfish, where I looked at other people's situation. And I'd be lying if I said that I didn't think about what happened to me every day and it didn't shape my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so on the House floor, when my Republican Party was pushing to have an amendment on the ballot that would make same-sex marriage prohibited, it would be in the Minnesota State Constitution, I looked at it and said, that's the worst thing you could possibly do. That is absolutely not the place of government, but on its face, it's mean. Why, I mean, why should the government look at me and say, here's who you can marry. This is it. It needs to be this type of setup. That's it. And so that gentleman, and I used the photo of an individual, Corporal Andrew Wilford, who was killed in combat. He was from Minnesota. He's gay. And his parents gave me permission to use his story as an example that it's horrible that our country could, or any elected officials can say, you know what, young man, you are good enough to die for your country, but you're not good enough to marry the person that you love. And that's when I stood up against my party. And I don't want to demonize the Republican Party, because for one, they get demonized enough, but there was a lot of people in that room that were Republicans that wanted to vote the way I did, but they were afraid of the repercussions, and I wasn't. And I think that was kind of the difference after having gone through what I did.
Yeah, and I think once you've gone through some of the stuff that you have, there is this certain, like, I don't give a fuck, I'm going to say what I want to, like, type of attitude. And that's exactly the way I feel. Like, when I think about freedom and what it means to be free, my idea of government is I don't give a shit what you do, as long as you're not harming somebody to your left or your right and you're not infringing on their rights. Other than that, I don't give the if I was going to die for like the ideal of freedom, buddy, you better be as free as you possibly can be. Like, I don't want any restrictions on that at all.
100%. And so I'm pretty much more, I'm more of a libertarian than anything. Mm-hmm. Socially, marry who you want, bang who you want. Weed should be legal. Mm-hmm. Don't, like you said, don't be getting in your car all fucked up and driving around and stuff. But whatever you do, if it's not harming other people, that's not government's job. There's other shit, especially these days, there's other shit for them to worry about. And that was kind of the thing as I looked at it. And it, in the caucus room, where it's just other Republican representatives, I got emotional because I looked at them and I was like, what you're doing is going to be the biggest mistake you've ever made politically, not just because you're all going to lose your seats next term, and that happened, but you're infringing on people's rights. And I don't think you can call yourself a conservative and say, I want government out of my life, except I think they should be telling you what to do in the bedroom. I mean, mm-hmm. what kind of hypocrisy is that?
And so it makes no sense.
it's frustrating to this day. And so that's where politically, and I left on my own terms, and people were like, we want you back in there, and that's flattering. I feel like I did a good job, but at the same time too, I had to focus on my family life, and life is a lot better now that I'm out of politics.
Yeah, and being out for this last cycle, I'm sure, is a breath of fresh air where you're not getting questions about Twitter and shit constantly. Yep. When you first came back, you got back, I imagine, pretty quickly. So you were there for 8 days. So around December 10th, December 11th is when you woke up from your, I assume it's a medically induced coma, right?
It was.
And that you were put on TV very quickly after. Like, there's a video of you from right after you get back and your unit is returning, and you lost, it was clear you had lost a bunch of weight. Do you look back now and think, what in the world was I doing on TV so soon after something horrific like this?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to, and my goal throughout this whole thing, because it's crazy as fuck, and you feel the same way, I'm sure, about you. I mean, you got shot in a war. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Most people,
like, still, like, military, looking back on it, like, that is, I went to a different country and somebody shot me. It is fucked up. And you came back with, like, two less legs than you went with. And, like, still, I'm sure some days you wake up and, like, oh, shit, yeah, I still don't have my legs.
Yeah, every morning. But I get the good parking spots now, so it's all good. But the, I look back on that, and I was still kind of finding myself. And, I mean, I was so busy trying to tell other people that I was fine, that when really I was convincing myself, I had to adjust. I had to find my self-worth out. So basically I was in an open marriage, but nobody told me about it. And so the good old Jody, the old Jody thing. And so I looked at it as, well, nobody wants a guy with no legs. And so it made me feel like shit. So I had to really find my own self-worth and figure that out. And at the same time, I'm on the news. I hadn't found out yet about the Jody situation right when I was on the news. I wanted to teach people the things I learned without them having to go through it, because, like we've discussed, it's nuts. And so the things, if it can positively impact people's lives, which is why I tweet about it every December 2nd, walk people through it. It's so they can look at life maybe in a little bit of a different perspective. And maybe it will make their day a little bit brighter seeing that things work out if you have a positive attitude. And so, it's a little embarrassing looking back, especially because the medications that they put you on, that was back when, as you remember, if you're like, hey, I'm a little sore, they're like, here's a big fucking bottle of pills and here's how many you take per day. And it's just, you're kind of numb.
Here's a bucket of Ambien so you can sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, so, yeah, I look back on that. That's a different person that I see.
And I think that's so key to point out that it's a different person. Also, you're not just like somebody who lost his legs in Fallujah. Like, you are still John, and finding who you are post-military. What was that process like for you, finding out who you were outside of the Army?
It was very lonely, because, like, I felt lonely at home even. And so I came back, and my whole life I wanted to be an infantryman. Now, I was in the Guard, so I was in full-time. My regular job was, I worked in an ink factory in Minneapolis. It was a good job, hardworking job, well-paying, but I wasn't going to be working in an ink factory anymore, obviously. I wasn't going to be an infantryman. So I really had to figure it out and find what I was good at. And when you're doing that for so long, that becomes your life. And you don't really think about, I could do this or I could do that. Well, now I was forced to. And I was in the right place at the right time and met some people that worked for the recruiting command for the Minnesota National Guard. And they had said, I was at the governor's fishing opener, and they asked me to say a few words. So I said a few words. The commander of the recruiting battalion came up and he goes, I like you. I think you should work for us. And I said, well, I'm getting out. I'm med boarding out. If you can get me a contracting job, a civilian contracting job with you guys, I'm in. And they made that happen. So I retired on a Friday, started work on a Monday, and I got to work for the National Guard and manage our advertising accounts with the Minnesota Vikings, the Minnesota Wild. It was a fun job. I got to promote the National Guard, which is something I love. I was a civilian, but I was working with the military, so it's the perfect transitional job to give me confidence, to give me a place to be, and help me kind of get back to normal a little bit.
And we talked to veterans who are disabled veterans who were in the VA system, and learning, the military does a terrible job across the board of teaching you how to, one, like, go through the VA system, how to get involved in the VA system, how to get your health care from the VA. Was that process for you difficult, like, managing going through the VA and figuring out all those steps?
It wasn't, Walter Reed, there was a VA employee that walked me through it, and they were in contact with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs service officers to help file the claim, go through everything. So the minute I was, I mean, I had my proposed rating a month and a half before I was out. So it went pretty smooth. It was a whirlwind. And now I do that as a career, as I'm a veteran service officer here in Minnesota. So I wish I remembered more about the process, but it wasn't difficult for me. I think because the severity of my injuries and B, how public it was. It was on the Care 11 news here, followed me through the process because there hadn't been.
Somebody like you doesn't get the care they need. The news is ready to fucking pounce on that.
And they love that here. The news station here, anytime the VA shits in the wrong bathroom, it's the top story. And so our deployment was like 3,600 from our brigade in Minnesota. And I was the first very severely injured that had survived, that hadn't been, we had had KIAs. And so it was a very public thing. My parents, you know, when it was an unnamed soldier from Baden's Heights that had been severely wounded, my parents and talked to the news. And so it became a top thing, and it ended up, it was a good thing. They had meant to help because they had helped, and the community helped me build a handicap accessible home. So that was kind of the thought behind it. But the whole process with the VA for me did feel pretty smooth. Now my situation, I mean, when the legs are gone, there's not much to evaluate. There's other injuries and stuff too, but
very clearly service connected.
Right. Exactly.
And you now, I imagine, in the position that you're in and helping and being an advocate for other veterans, I think that that is the best thing that people who have been injured in combat, they come back and put themselves in those type of positions where they can help others, because it's so almost like a sigh of relief as a veteran when you walk in and you talk to somebody that you know they have been there too, because it is scary, like navigating all these different systems, and I'm no longer in the military. What am I doing? Talking to somebody in those offices who's clearly been there before is, I would imagine, like a sigh of relief for a lot of your clients.
It is, yeah. And in Minnesota, all 87 counties have to have county veteran service offices to help with this process. And to be a CVSO, you have to be a veteran. That's a state law. And so they know when they're coming in that they're talking to someone who's been through it. And Tim, who is in the seat behind me, he works for me in that office as well. So I get to work with my best friend every day. And so we've been through it. We've been there. My other staff has been to combat and has been there. So it's a very rewarding job. It's an interesting job because you hear story, you know, similar to your guys' podcast. You hear just funny shit. You hear sad shit. It's no single day is the same. So I'm very glad to be doing that. I started that right when I left politics. I was able to get in that role and work for that county. And it's been awesome.
And you're crushing this job. You're doing things in media. What's next for you, John?
I you know what? If I don't want to change life right now, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. I got my 16-month-old girl. And with the job, one of the things I love about my job, we get a bunch of it. You start with 24 vacation days. And so I use those to go and give speeches at different businesses around the United States, around Minnesota. I get to be on the Power Trip morning show every Friday. I enjoy every day I wake up. I always have something to look forward to. And so with that, I don't want to mess it up. You know what I mean? It's like a dream right now. I can't believe, looking back on that day, I can't believe how my life turned out today.
Yeah, I'm the same exact way. Like, I feel so fortunate, and something I was talking about it just in fact a few minutes ago when we were recording the rest of the show, and I had mentioned that I wasn't wearing PPE whenever I got shot. 4 or 5 inches faster, me walking through that house, it goes straight through my gut and I'm probably dead. And right. You think about 4 or 5 inches and the impact that, like, our show has been able to have, like, through helping people with mental health and stuff like that. I'm so fortunate to be in this position, and I know you feel the same way. I want to mention your book before we let you go, because, one, I always laugh when enlisted guys like myself or ladies have books, because there's no shot your drill sergeants thought you would ever be a writer of a book, right?
Oh, fuck no. Yeah, or my school teachers, when they came to my book signing events.
This motherfucker wrote a book?
Yeah, they're like, and they'd always say, my teachers would always say, just so proud of you. And I'd see on their face, and I just want to say, just tell me you're shocked. That's okay. I'm shocked too.
If I was your English teacher, I'd go back and try to edit myself and be like, oh, this is a comma splice. We had a dangling participle here every now and then. But I love that you titled the fact that your book Still Standing. How did you come up with that title, and what does Still Standing really mean to you?
So when I woke up at the hospital and I started learning of the injuries that weren't visible, mainly my pelvis had been shattered. They were honest with me and said, there's not a great chance that you're going to walk again. It's going to be possible, but wearing prosthetics might be just to get upright and maybe to reach over and grab something to get out of your wheelchair. They said, we're not sure that the surgery is going to be able to piece it back together enough that your weight can be supported on prosthetics on your pelvis. So in my mind, I was like, there is no chance that I'm not walking again. And that's, I'm not going to be using a wheelchair.
That's what I was going to ask you. Were you downtrodden, or were you going to be like, fuck that, I'm doing this?
Right. I was downtrodden a bit, but it was a challenge as well. And a lot of the stuff at Walter Reed, they know what they're doing. And a lot of times they know that it's troops. And if you're like, I don't think you can do this, you're like, the fuck I can't.
Oh, good. And now I got something for you. I am going to do it. Yeah. And I'm going to do it liquored the fuck up too.
Right. So that part of it, the fact that that I was able to now walk out, I walked out of Walter Reed 9 months later. That's why I wanted it to be Still Standing.
Love it. Go check out Still Standing. I'm sure they can get it at Amazon, but we always support local bookshops instead, if you can find it, or go to your website, right? What's your website?
Yes. JohnMKriesel.com, and it's KRIESEL.com. And that's also where people can hire me to share my story with their team. And I make sure when I share the story that it's not a sob story, that it's obviously heavy and I walk them through it, but I make sure to inject humor, A, because that's how I got through what I did. You got to laugh, right? I mean, at some point you're just got to be like, this is fucking hilarious because it's so awful. and to make sure that they leave that after hearing that story and they're uplifted and inspired, rather than going, man, that poor bastard, I feel so bad for him. Because my life, I've never been happier in my entire life than I am today. Life is so good. And so that's what I like to share with people.
And my favorite leadership adage over the years has always been, bloom where you're planted. John, it's clear that you're doing that. You're blooming where you're planted. And what happened to you in December 2nd of 2006, right?
Yes.
Yeah, December 2nd, 2006, you've bounced back and you're doing amazing things for the veteran community. People obviously love you, and we appreciate you taking the time to come on Zero Block 30. Thank you, my friend.
I appreciate it so much, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Shout out to John for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Let's move into some save rounds and alibis. Kate, we'll start with you.
Nothing crazy. Working on the apartment hunt right now for the little bubbla. Okay. And also, I'm thinking about going on a little recon expedition this weekend. There are two owls in Central Park who everyone's losing their shit over. And birding has become a hot patootin' commodity during COVID here in the city. I think I might get my binos, okay, put on my MVGs, go out there and find these owls in the park.
Cool.
Okay.
Screw you guys.
I think that's lovely.
Hey, to each their own. Whatever.
Can
man.
You? Oh, what about while you're doing this? Because you can't drink, and I think you should go with a backpack full of Tootsie Roll Pops.
Yes.
For
just
sure.
Go on the owl hunt with Tootsie Roll Pops, and if you find one, give it, and then do a video of how many bite licks it actually takes for an owl to really get to the center.
Okay. Fine.
Wow.
Done.
I wonder how many, please pipe in that audio, Kyle, but I wonder how many of our listeners don't get that reference at all.
Probably not that many. I have a question. Do you remember the urban myth about a Tootsie Roll Pop?
No. Oh, yes. If you got the star on the wrapper?
Yes. If the a Native American who had the bow and arrow was shooting. Oh wow, Kyle has
Kyle
one right there.
Kyle just has a Tootsie Pop.
Oh, remember when we used to have the lollipop lantern was lit? We need to bring that thing back. The lollipop lantern being lit.
He's unwrapping it right now. Oh my
god! It was the Native American who pulled back the bow and arrow, and if the arrow had the star on the end, you could bring it back to the gas station where you got it and get a free one.
I didn't know that that's what happened, but I thought it was like good luck or something like that. But do you have it? He has it.
Oh,
Kyle
wow.
has it on his wrapper.
Nailed it. That's super offensive. I'm surprised they haven't taken that off yet.
Well, I'm going to.
Fucking Disney.
I'm going to take one to the park, see if I can get any little Hooters to crunch down.
Yeah. All right. Is that it, Kate?
Yep.
Kyle?
So, just a few. 35 kilograms is 77 pounds. That's a shitload of pork.
That's a lot of pork. Holy shit.
That's a lot.
That's like a whole suckling pig.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of pork. What I mean, that's insane. Our pals, chaps, I got to say, you working in your shop, I get the videos first. Pal, we need to have
clean?
A safety stand down, I think.
Yeah.
I think we need to. I'm getting worried.
There's so much shit in there, dude. I don't know what to do. Like, it's just shit everywhere.
Well, one... your bandsaw use leaves a little to be desired. I'm worried about your fingers. You don't have a saw stop.
I actually said it in one moment. I was like, that probably was almost my finger. Yeah. Somebody left a comment on one of my blogs yesterday. Just go ahead and cut off your fingers already. We're just waiting for it. That's always really what it is.
That's dark.
That's mean.
That's terrible.
It's a little dark.
But our pals at ArborTech, now they have a dust mask. And ooh, you could probably really use a dust mask because those little.
I had
particulates...
one in my fucking pocket for that video, and I didn't put it on.
That's like the story of your life. Like, I was going to get it, but it was 2 feet away, so I didn't use it.
Well, I wasn't wearing PPE when I got shot either. Luckily, it wasn't like 4 inches over and been straight to the gut.
Goddamn.
For real. Like, good. I was just walk. I had my flight suit tied around my waist because I was in like downtime just hanging out, and next thing I know I got shot.
It's back.
But I obviously lied about it on my report and said that I was wearing full PPE.
Yes.
Sure. You had your gloves, your eye pro, ear pro.
Yeah,
because
you're not a buddy fucker. That is the reason, dude. I've always wondered what the reason. Now I just remembered it right now. That was the reason why Colbert came to the hospital, like Iceman from Generation Kill. He came so he could tell me what to put on the report because they had to do like a report. He came to gave me the bullet and said, make sure you put in there that you are wearing all your PPE.
Yeah.
That was the reason.
Smart. Huh. Something to remember for all the folks
very
out
smart.
There.
Yeah. Very smart.
There we go. All right. Cons.
Real quick.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Do we want to do
Take
the drawing right now or at the very end?
Oh, yeah, let's do the drawing right now.
Drawing, drawing,
okay,
drawing.
So for Cyber Monday, Black Friday merch sales, we ran a little promotion that if you bought some merch from the Barstool Sports Store, we would do a drawing, and you could come on and watch, you know, how we record, and then do a save round at the end. Mm-hmm. So we got 16 entries total. Now, the deal was... if you bought ZBT merch, you got 2 entries in the drawing.
Ooh.
Now, some people didn't show us what they bought, so you don't get 2 entries. I don't care if you bought $1 billion in ZBT merch. You didn't follow the directions. Life lesson. So, if you got... I wrote a little computer program in Python to make it extremely even. It draws... I got all the numbers. Everyone got assigned a number. And if you had 2 entries, your number was in there twice. And it pulls a random number out of a list. I can't influence this. It's completely computer generated.
Okay.
So right now, we're going to draw the number. I won't say who the people were.
I wish we would have got Big Cat's fucking ping pong ball.
Yeah,
we should have done that. So,
way to go, Kyle.
Yeah. Here we go. I'm clicking the run button.
Here we go. Kate, drum roll.
The winner is number 16. Number 16 popped up. Number 16 is at Max Walsh 92.
I love that
Max
guy.
That's I recognize him.
He's a firefighter, a real one.
a real
yeah. No, he's a lovely guy. I think he's a Marine Corps infantry vet.
He was a in 2nd LAR. I think he was an LAV crewman. So an 03, yeah, an 0313, I think they are. And really good guy. So we'll let him know. Thank you, everybody who bought Barstool merchandise, EBT merchandise. That allows us to, you know, do whatever
do what we do.
Want, really.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Woohoo. Congrats to Max. And thank you for being a real firefighter.
I'm excited to have him on.
One.
I've been following him since I started at Barstool on the internet, seeing his little...
I followed him for a while. I actually looked up some LAVs for him when I was still in the Marine Corps to tell him where they were. So,
nice.
Pretty cool stuff. Congrats to him.
Nice. Woo. All right, Cons, what about you?
A few things. Number one, Chaps, you're a grown adult. I would never in a million years approach you. And tell you how to spend your money. But if we were back in the military and you were one of my NCOs, you come in our group chat all the time with, I bought this, I bought that. I'd be teetering on bringing you in my office and saying, hey, staff sergeant, like, what's going on? I'm ready for an audit.
I'm doing fine, folks. Don't you worry about me. I'm doing okay.
Let he who has not spent $100 on meat and cheese throw the first stone.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I can't throw a stone then because I have been in that boat plenty of times as well.
Yeah,
but you guys also have to remember I live in Texas, so my income goes a lot further.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Congratulations on Wednesday night. All the ROTC and West Point cadets picked their branch of the Army. That's exciting. So congrats to them.
Oh, the ROTC gets to participate in that too?
Yes. It's all of them. Yeah. So that was a big deal. Wednesday night, so congrats to them. And then finally, listen, I do my best to remain objective.
But when you pull
out a uniform with kitchen countertops on the helmet as the design, I'm sorry, I can't just objectively say, like, oh yeah, cool, that looks good.
It's marble that's found all over the Naval Academy, including the crypt of their founder.
No, that's not that he didn't find. He died 53 years before the school was even built. So no, that's not correct. That's my point.
Yeah, Kate,
that was almost
like when you said that 95% of the world's raspberry population came from Serbia.
It's so confusing that no one knows what it even is. So it looks like kitchen countertops. So, you know, sorry, Navy.
I will say this because I agree with you. I wrote a blog that the Naval Academy's uniform looked like butt cheeks. I need to point something out. I've seen actual pictures of the helmets when it's in real life. It looks so much better than the pictures that they put out, like from their photographer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that played a big part of it. Because that's the same thing that we said about, I believe it was one of Army's uniforms, where we were like, oh, it looks a little bit plain. And then whenever you saw it out on the field, I think it was the year 2017 when they had the mountain division.
Oh, the 10th Mountain, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was like a matte white, and you're like, oh, fuck. When you actually saw it on the field, it looked a lot better. I hope that's the case with Navy's, because on their pictures, butt cheeks. It really looks like an old Trapper Keeper or a cheap Formica countertop and like a brand new double wide that costs $42,000 that you could put on your own land.
Yeah.
Mm. No.
And I mean, here's the best part. Chaps wouldn't be saying these things.
I wouldn't.
If they weren't true.
I feel like that should be like the litmus test of what's going
on. It's marble. It's stone from the earth. It's all over the academy. That's where they come from.
Yeah,
because
when you think Navy, you think marble.
Okay.
Marble.
Yeah, that's what? Exactly the first thing that comes to mind.
It's a really hard
the long
stone.
Marble tradition of the Navy.
With you guys. Yeah.
They build ships out of it and all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't really have much. It's been an interesting week. I do want to mention the fact I am tired of the political bullshit. Like, just so sick of it. I have more respect for Adam Kinzinger, who is the congressman from Illinois. Last night he tweeted out, the president, almost every tweet that the president does now has that these are disputed by multiple sources. Adam Kinzinger, he quote tweeted it, delete your account, to the president. And he is a Republican. We need more people in that party to step up and be like, just fucking stop, man. Like, you're trampling all over the Constitution. General Flynn saying that he wants to pause the Constitution and put another election out there.
dude, what in the fuck are we doing? Like, we used to be the country where we would go places to ensure that they had fair and safe elections. And now we're like people in Georgia, the governor of Michigan, people in Arizona, the secretary of state, death threats and shit like that. Let's be better. Let's be better. And if you didn't like Biden, vote again in 4 years. I wasn't a big Trump guy, but I hope to God that something like this changes the way that we view discourse. And my hope for Biden is that even though they won't have the Senate, like Democrats won't have the Senate, they won't have the House, is that somewhere, somehow, some way, we get back to the place where we can accomplish things for the greater good of Americans. Because right now, it doesn't seem like that's the focus of too many people. And I hope that that kind of attitude returns. I've been wanting to say something about that for a while, but I've held off. Couldn't do it anymore. I'm just fucking tired of it. This is not what we fought for, what we wanted, what people are still fighting for. We want people to go out and do the right thing. General Flynn, fucking shame on you. You're on firewatch, bitch. Ooh. Sound the retreat.
You might be the first general we've given firewatch to.
Yeah, it might be. Actually, General Flynn, firewatch, and that other lieutenant general, he can be your fucking A duty.
Yeah, absolutely.
There we go.
Get him the moonbeams.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's it.
Bye.